Thank you, Mr. President. I move the Senate Bill 187 be brought before the body.
You've heard the motion. As many as are of the opinion it shall prevail, say aye.
Aye.
For those to the contrary, no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. The bill is before us for perfection.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move the Senate Bill 187 be perfected. Senate Bill 187 is an attempt to bring some common sense to our temporary nuisance law in our state. You know, the state of Missouri is blessed. We're blessed that we have a very strong agriculture economy. We're blessed that for years and years that the farmers of our state have been able to produce the food for our tables. And unfortunately, the reality is that animal agriculture and plant agriculture have evolved. They've evolved like every other industry, and they're now larger operations. The reality is that in recent years, agriculture has become under attack by essentially out-of-state lawyers who, if we do not rectify this injustice, have the potential to dramatically impact and detrimentally impact agriculture in our state. Senate Bill 187 corrects this injustice and puts Missouri producers on an equal playing field with all the states that border us. All we are trying to do here is, through statutory law, create the same level playing field for Missouri farmers that they have, that farmers in every other state have. I'm happy to answer any questions. With that, Mr. President, I renew my motion.
Does any senator wish to be heard? Senator from Buchanan.
To inquire of the senator from Andrew.
Senator, yield.
I do.
Proceed.
Thank you, Senator. As you know, I'm working with you to get an amendment drafted.
Sure.
I don't think it's prepared yet.
Okay.
But what it would do would add on to the language of your bill, which relates to nuisances, language of another bill that also relates to nuisances. And so, while they draft this bill,
from our discussions that the language that you're putting together, this body passed numerous times last year. I have no problem with it. I think there are a couple other amendments out there that I know I want to put on. I think the senator from the 11th has one, and there's a couple options. Probably the easiest one is for us to deal with the amendment being distributed right now from the senator from the 11th. While they finish drafting yours.
Well, then I'll sit down. And,
fair enough.
And I'll just be ready in a few minutes.
I know you have an amendment, and we won't close until that time.
Thank you, Senator.
Yep.
Thank you, Mr. President.
Further discussion. Senator from Cape Girardeau, for what purpose do you rise?
Thank you, Mr. President. To inquire the senator from Mercer. I don't know. Which county is he from today?
Andrew today.
Andrew
would work. Okay. Senator from Andrew, do you yield?
I do.
He does. Proceed.
Senator, thank you very much for yielding, and I wanted to ask a couple of questions.
Sure.
Of basically where you are. I heard your introduction. I want to make sure we're on Senate Bill 187.
187.
And this act, modifies laws relating to private nuisances.
That's correct.
This is sort of the CAFO deal.
Correct.
Okay. Now, I don't hold this against you at all because many individuals hate my legislation, and I get a lot of emails in opposition to my bill.
Right.
So I don't discount it, but there seems to be some kind of form email that's circulating out there, because I've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 in my folder on this that are identical with the exact same two typos.
Right.
That are out there. So I mean, obviously these people are on some kind of email list or servers list. I don't know if you've seen that.
I have.
Form email. I don't know if you want to address that.
I do. Let's back up, and I'll kind of give a little bit of history of how we've evolved to where we are.
Okay.
In the late 80s and early 90s, agriculture began to evolve from small family farms that literally had, you know, 100 head of hogs and 50 head of cattle, and they farmed 500 acres. And as operations got larger, basically what happened is in north central Missouri, there were five counties that were changed so that corporate agriculture could come in.
Okay.
And in those five counties, a company came in, they started building large hog operations, and in some cases housing hundreds of thousands of head. Basically what happened is lawsuits started being filed, understandably. At the same time, agriculture was evolving in other states as well. And in the mid-90s, what happened in our state, in Iowa, just happened to happen the same year, these lawsuits worked their way up to the Supreme Court. And in Iowa, the Supreme Court said that when a animal agriculture, when a feeding operation is built, that operation is going to be there for a while. It's not leaving.
Okay.
Therefore, it's a permanent nuisance.
Okay.
In Missouri, what happened is it went up to the Supreme Court, and the Supreme Court said, no, it's a temporary nuisance. Well, the nuisance law in our state is all case law. It's not statutory law.
Right.
As a result, if it was a permanent nuisance, then what could happen is if your farm or your home or whatever property you own that abuts that facility, if it's been negatively impacted or you believe your property values have gone down, whatever it is, you have the right to sue.
Okay.
But in a permanent nuisance lawsuit, you get 100% of the value of your property.
Okay.
Once you received 100% of the value before the facility came,
okay,
that's where you're done.
That's the damages.
That's the damages. That's the property damages. That's what you can receive there. Now, in a temporary nuisance, what happens is you can just keep suing time and time again. So what's happened in our situation and what I've seen in North Central Missouri, literally, animal feeding operation goes into place. Individuals sue, which they have every right to do. They win, so be it. But then what happens is they literally wait a year or 2 years and sue again. Now, typically you would say that's, you know, depending on what the award was, you'd say, well, I understand that might happen sometime. But here's what's happened, Senator. What's happened is they sue, they've been awarded hundreds of thousands of dollars. They then, now, with the understanding that the reason they sued and the reason they won is because they were saying that their farm can no longer be used. It stinks so bad when they go outside they can no longer enjoy the beautiful outdoors.
Right.
However, they then build big decks onto their homes, they add onto the homes. One guy built an outdoor swimming pool. They build new sheds, buy new tractors.
Do they do those below ground or above ground?
Above ground.
Yeah.
All above ground.
I didn't know. I was going to correct you there.
No, we're above ground up there.
Well, I've always heard up there that there's a pool and a pond and that the pond would be good for me.
That's the way I grew up.
Yeah, that's the way I grew up. Okay.
But basically what happened is they did all these wonderful improvements and then they went back and sued again.
Okay.
After the second time, they won again because it's temporary nuisance.
Okay.
As the farmers started going to them and saying, listen, you've been compensated for your property once, if not twice, we'll buy the farm from you so that we don't have to go, you no longer have to smell us, we no longer have these lawsuits, let's just get everybody out of it. They approached numerous facility or numerous landowners with that offer, and take a guess how many sold.
Zero.
Zero.
Yeah.
Because what has happened is because of the way the temporary nuisance loophole works in our state, and we're one of the only states in the nation where this happens.
Where we have a temporary nuisance cause of action versus a permanent nuisance.
Right, where animal feeding operations have been deemed temporary versus permanent.
Right.
Because of that, they're perpetual slot machines.
Okay.
And they just sue time and time
again. So what we have is is it premium standards or did they sell?
Well, Smithfield is the parent company.
Smithfield
owns premium standards. Right.
So we have them there and basically they're just getting flooded with these temporary nuisance lawsuits by many of the same people. By all of the same people.
I don't want to say all, I'm sure there are some that have only sued once, but there are many that have sued multiple times.
And is there like a geographic map of, I mean, there's a finite number of these people that live within a circle there. So we know this is really affecting what? Maybe, I don't know, 25? Do you know how many families
I know
are?
That
100?
Smithfield, PSF, whatever you want to call them, I know they have over 200 lawsuits pending.
Okay.
So now
so
it
they
started...
have 200 adjacent property owners that at least are close enough to bring a lawsuit.
Right.
How far are we talking, I guess, is a better question. Five miles away from the center of the operation, 10 miles,
that's
100 miles?
That's the great debate, is there's no limitation. You know, there's some that argue when they're 10 miles away, they still smell it, or they're 5 miles away, they still smell it.
Okay.
Now, what's happened is excuse me, if I get some water. It started out with just this group up there, but what's happened is it's now become a business model. And so now what's happening is that same group of lawyers are suing family operations,
okay,
but only family operations that have insurance, knowing the insurance yeah. company will settle,
right,
using those proceeds to then fund additional lawsuits.
Right.
So
right.
unfortunately, we've created this environment where it's a self-fulfilling prophecy.
Right.
Well, the problem is, Senator, whether anyone in this chamber likes the fact that we've evolved to the point where agriculture is taking on an economy as a scale,
sure,
the reality is that it has.
Right.
And the challenge before us now is how do we manage it? And right. I believe that instead of case law deciding how we manage it, I believe it should be a public policy debate. Thank you. It should be a public policy debate amongst the people in this building.
Okay. And I appreciate that historical perspective. I think it gives it. Thank you. Yeah. I think it gives it great context on where it is. And what is your proposed solution?
All right. So
what does the bill do?
Right. So what my proposal is in a nutshell is it says an animal feeding operation, an agriculture operation, is a permanent nuisance.
Okay.
If someone comes in and spends millions of dollars building a facility, they're not moving it anytime soon.
Right, right.
And if you have been unjustly impacted or negatively impacted, you have the right to sue.
Okay.
And you can receive up to 100% of the value of your property,
okay,
pre-facility coming, and you still own the property.
Okay.
So, but at that point, then you're done.
Okay.
Is
it the land values or the usage value?
It's
like if I had Six Flags, do I get the value of Six Flags or do I get the value of the land?
Well, because this is primarily just rural
right.
area,
okay,
it's value of the land. Like there's no
okay.
thriving metropolis
okay.
In endeavor next to these places.
Well, I mean, they have pretty good, like during Halloween, haunted houses in there.
Yeah, good haunted houses.
Don't they? So,
a few hunting lodges, but...
I figure. Okay.
But that's the background. That's how we've evolved
okay.
to where we are.
Okay, so you don't get business value damages. You get property
that's correct.
Value damages.
Now, okay. so those who are opposing it, their fundamental argument is they want to be able to sue agriculture as many times as they can.
Okay.
And essentially their desire is they want to be able to sue farmers until they have no option but to go into bankruptcy.
Okay.
Well, I fundamentally don't believe that's good for the long-term viability of this industry.
Right.
And so that's why I believe we have to deal
okay.
with this.
Now, I appreciate that. I really, really do in the context. That helps. I just want to read this form email
sure.
and see how you would address this. It starts off that, number one, they urge that we do not vote for Senate Bill 187. So that's how it does. It says, I urge you not to vote for Senate Bill 187. This bill, B-I-L-L-L, so, and that's the same in all of them, B-I-L-L-L, three L's, will limit the constitutional rights of family farmers and rural landowners to use the court system to protect their property rights from negative impacts and pollution from industrial livestock operations. And that's kind of going where they think they should continue to be able to bring temporary nuisance
right.
lawsuits instead of one permanent nuisance lawsuit. Okay. And then it says the operations that would be protected under Senate Bill 187 are a small minority of the CAFOs, concentrated animal feeding operations. Of the 100,000 plus farming operations in the state, half of 1% are regulated as CAFOs. Is that true, or do you know anything about that?
I have no idea.
Yeah, I don't either. This is a blatant attack on family farmers and on property rights. What do you think about
well,
that?
Well, first of all, I think that we're not doing anything to the Constitution, so we're not changing the Constitution in any way. We're not stopping anyone from suing. But what
okay.
we are saying is just like in this state, we made a decision that if we're going to have doctors in this state, we're going to limit how much someone can sue them for.
Yeah, yeah, put a cap on non-economic
damages. That's
animals. Right.
What this is doing is saying, listen, we have to make sure that we have agriculture in our state. we're going to put a cap on what they can be sued for. Now, if, Senator, they bring a lawsuit saying that the acts of that neighbor have caused them physical health problems or, you know, something outside of the value of their property, like they have...
Outside of a nuisance. They actually have a tort.
That's correct.
Like, I've developed cancer or I've developed, you know,
or I got
migraines.
Lung problems or whatever it is because of that. We're not changing any of that.
Right. So you're not changing tort law. You're changing nuisance law.
That is correct, Senator.
Okay.
Yep.
And then it ends... Senate Bill 187 is a deceitful attempt to hide behind the vast majority of Missouri's family farmers to protect CAFOs. I urge you to vote no on Senate Bill 187 to protect family farmers and the property rights of rural landowners. I look forward to hearing H-E-R-E-I-N-G from you. I assume you disagree that this is a deceitful attempt to hide behind the vast majority of Missouri's...
No, I believe this, Senator. I believe that agriculture has evolved. I believe that the feeding operations today are large feeding operations versus when I grew up where we had literally 200 head of hogs and 50 head of cattle. The reality is this industry, like every other industry in this country, is evolving, and that also means that our public policy has to evolve with it.
Now,
so I believe this is a healthy debate that needs to occur.
Do you know who was behind this form email, or have you heard?
I don't know for sure. The group that testified against the legislation in committee was the Rural Crisis Center. Rural Crisis Center.
You mean the retired teachers didn't testify against this?
The retired teachers did, not on this one.
All right. Well, are you doing anything with the retired teacher's pension system?
I'm not, but that doesn't mean they won't send emails.
Is it specifically excluded in your bill? And am I opening a possibility that if your bill passes, that somehow the retired teachers are going to lose their pensions?
I feel fairly confident saying that we will not impact retired teachers with this legislation.
I was just wondering if Jim Kreider was behind these emails.
I don't know.
You don't have any evidence or knowledge to that?
I don't. Although, if he is, he didn't testify at the hearing.
Okay. Well, that's not uncommon.
I know. That's a good point.
He doesn't usually show up or even read the bills in which he testifies against. So,
points.
Well, I just saw this email with a consistent pattern of typos that looked all the same. And, you know, as I said opening up, that I have experienced such... responses that are out there, and I appreciate the opportunity of getting to inquire you and clearing all this
candidness,
up.
In full candidness, when the Rural Crisis folks testified, you know, we just have a fundamental disagreement. I believe that...
Well, is the Rural Crisis... Are they even an agricultural
interest group? They
articulate... I've never heard of them before.
They articulate that they represent the family farmer, that the farm bureaus don't represent them, the corn growers don't represent them, I mean, all the
farmers union doesn't represent them.
Apparently not.
So why did they put crisis in their name?
I don't know, to be honest, Senator.
The Rural Crisis.
Rural Crisis Center. We just have a fundamental difference of I believe it's a permanent nuisance. They believe it's a temporary nuisance, which allows multiple lawsuits for unlimited amounts of time. And I don't believe any industry, whether it's agriculture or anyone else, can survive, let alone thrive, in that legal environment.
Sure. And your bill is just on a going forward basis.
That's correct. It doesn't impact anything that's already been filed.
Okay, so if you've already filed a lawsuit or you've already been victorious in a lawsuit, it doesn't take your right away to bring this one permanent nuisance and then be done.
That's correct.
Okay, so starting August 28, 2011, on a going forward basis, you get one bite at the apple, even if before that date, you've bitten at the apple.
That's right.
That's the
even
way I read your bill.
Apple, you get another one.
So there could have been property owners that have brought two temporary nuisance lawsuits.
We actually
after your bill files, they can bring one more permanent, but then they're finally done.
Yeah, my understanding is that we have property owners that have brought three or four already.
Okay.
So they may get a fifth or a sixth before they're actually
but
done.
But because of the balancing that we have to do in this body, we have to do in this state of this interest versus that interest, your legislation basically says, listen, folks, we're going to make this a permanent nuisance at this point. You get one more permanent nuisance lawsuit, and then it's over. It's
That's
done.
Correct.
And hopefully, as I understand it, This particular operation has made meaningful negotiations in trying to buy these farms out from these individuals.
Right.
And maybe with this statutory change, that can occur or
right.
at least can move forward in that direction.
Well,
all
the
right.
other part that's frustrating, Senator,
yeah.
is that, as you know, if you want to stop something from happening, one of your legal recourses is to file an injunction
sure.
and go through a legal process to stop it. There's never been an injunction.
You know why? You know why? Because you have to put a bond up every time you file an injunction. And if you were to have to put a bond up to basically offset premium standards,
right.
I mean, that's millions and millions of dollars probably in maybe hourly, daily, weekly, monthly
right.
revenues. So if you bring a TRO, you have to file a bond that if it is found that the TRO is not successful, that you would lose and you would forfeit. That's why they're not bringing.
I didn't know that, but that's
yeah,
very.
That's why
you.
They're not bringing temporary restraining orders or going through that process.
Got
I
it.
Promise you that.
Thank you, Senator.
Yep. All right. Thank you very much for the inquiry. Very enlightful. Thank you.
Further discussion. Senator from the 11th, what purpose do you rise?
May I inquire of the Senator from Nottoway?
Senator from Nottoway, do you yield?
I do.
He does. Proceed.
Senator, I know you're called many things, but the chart officially that I've been given shows Nottoway.
Says Nottoway. I understand. Mind. I have 16 counties. I'm proud to represent them all and will answer to all the
so
counties.
So if you prefer Andrew, I'm happy to
yeah,
do that.
Yeah. I've been called worse.
Very briefly, the issue I talked to you about that my amendment deals with is, after all that's transpired, after what you and the Senator from CAPE discussed, I felt it was probably necessary to protect future property owners.
Sure.
So that, and all it is simply notification, kind of a consumer protection that if this property sold, that on the title in the recorder of deeds, there's a record of the permanent judgment
yep.
if one is found.
I think that's
and
very
I think
fair.
You're okay with it. And so with that, I'll get to offering it. And I just want to make clear you, and if this is a problem in some way, I'm happy to
yep.
work with you.
I've
with
talked to everyone, and from what I can tell, no one thinks this is an issue. And
right.
actually, it's a as much as anything, it's just making sure people are informed as they're looking at potentially
right.
purchasing that.
Okay. All right. Thank you for the inquiry, Senator. Mr. President?
Thanks.
Senator from the 11th.
I have an amendment.
To
it
the amendment
has
forward.
Been distributed, and I would ask for the waiver of the reading.
Seeing no objection, the reading will be waived. Would you care to explain your amendment?
Mr. President, I would move for the adoption of the amendment. This amendment is very simple. After all the permanent judgment on the nuisance has been reached, this just requires that it's placed on the deed of the property so any future buyer would know that there was some issue. As you know, in many of these issues, if there's a nuisance, I just want some future buyer to know that there has been some issue that has been resolved. And I have run this by both the title people and the real estate people, and they didn't really see any problem. I also ran it by the sponsor, and I just think it's a good additional consumer protection. So with that, I'll be happy to yield to any questions, Mr. President.
The senator from the 11th moves the adoption of Senate Amendment Number 1. Does any senator desire to be heard on that amendment? Senator from Clay, what purpose do you rise?
Yes, to inquire the senator from the 11th.
Senator from the 11th, yield?
I yield.
He does. Proceed.
Senator, I was just checking with this. It says a copy of the final judgment, any action alleging nuisance, shall be filed with the recorder of deeds in each county in which the claimant's property is located and shall operate as notice of any purchaser that the property of the previous claim judgment for nuisance. I have a question for you.
Yeah.
And maybe it doesn't apply at all, but it does say that it shall be filed with the recorder of deeds in each county in which the claimant's property is located. The claimant, is that the person that got sued or is that the person that made the claim?
That would be the person that would make the claim, right?
Okay. If any claimer or claimant successor.
And it's a final judgment, so it's not that they're having to notify every time there's some issue that
it.
Hasn't been resolved.
Yeah, because I see in the bill that the claimant or claimant successor with ownership or possessory interest brings successive claims.
Well, he's changing that to where it would be one judgment. So if there was, when his bill becomes law, if there's a final judgment on the property,
right.
I just want some future property owner to know that there was an issue.
you're actually talking about the claimant's property that was the subject of the judgment. So that if the claimant has, say they've got farm property in five different counties,
right.
I'm wondering if I shouldn't do an amendment to the amendment that says the claimant's property in, you know, a copy of the final judgment shall be filed with recorder of deeds in each county in which the claimant's property is located. You're not trying to get that judgment, like if they have property in five counties, you don't want them to have to file with the recorder of deeds in five counties, just in the county
right.
where the property is situated, where the
nuisance final judgment was reached.
I'm almost thinking, Senator, that your amendment should read, a copy of the final judgment, any action alleging nuisance shall be filed with recorder of deeds in the county in which the claimant's property is located that was subject to the order of final judgment.
Yeah, why don't you do that?
I mean, do you want me to withdraw the amendment? I just thought of it.
Well, can they make a change? And I can just, they'll make that change.
I would appreciate it. And then I'll just make an amendment to the amendment.
We're the only amendment right now. And what I'm thinking is, while we're inquiring, why don't we continue to inquire? Hopefully they can speedily.
That'll work.
And then I can just maybe withdraw the amendment and do that. I know the senator from Buchanan has an amendment.
Has an amendment, okay.
So I think he's ready to go.
And
so
Senator,
we can work out this amendment. Why don't I just withdraw it at this point and come back?
That'll work for me.
Okay. Mr. President, could you send that amendment back?
Madam Secretary, please send the amendment back. Senator from Saline, for what purpose do you rise?
To inquire the senator from Andrew.
Senator from Andrew, do you yield? He does. Proceed.
Good morning, Senator. I appreciate what you're trying to do here. You did bring up something that I want to go back to. You said that when you were raised you had 200 hogs and 100 or 50 cows, what have you. Well, when I was growing up, there were hogs on every
yep.
farm. And you didn't notice the odor changing from one farm to the other. They all stunk.
Right.
And you just didn't stand out.
The smell of money is what we used to call it.
The smell of money, I remember that. The other thing that's interesting is each one of those hog lots was on top of the hill.
Yeah.
And every time it rained, you cleaned your hog lot. Because
right.
it went down into the streams and into the river. So there was a considerable amount of pollution, but we didn't worry about it at that time.
Resource management was much different than it is today.
I acknowledge that. But what we have done in addressing that is bring hogs together in a large group so that we can maintain control of that waste. And quite frankly, today...
And the environment, the whole environment.
Oh, sure. And we have, and today, because of the value of fertilizer, most modern hog facilities keep that in a pit covered up with water
right.
so that there's very little odor around the facility, and then they pump that and then inject it to the ground so that we eliminate a lot of the odor. And a lot of the backlash against CAFOs is what is the technology we had 30 years ago or 20 years ago.
You actually touched on a really good point, and that is, I've got a lot of CAFOs throughout my Senate district. When I go look at the ones that were built in the mid to late 90s, they were all open lagoon facilities that house literally tens of thousands of head on any one location.
Right.
And to be very candid, when you have that concentration compounded with the open lagoon, it's very difficult to manage odor. The new facilities, I say new, the ones that I've seen built in the last 5 to 7 years probably, so say since 2005 forward, they've been what's called the deep pit technology, which is what
right.
you're referencing. So as the waste, the resource product goes down into a pit, it's kept underwater, thereby managing the odor. They literally pump it out into a tank and knife it into the ground. So the old lagoons, they would literally, in where I live anyway, I remember growing up, we had a class 1A CAFO that was just about 5 miles from my grandparents' farm. And every time we'd go by there, they'd be pumping their lagoons. And they essentially had an irrigation system that literally took that waste and just spread it out through the pasture, or in this case, their row crop land. And I remember, this was in the mid to late 80s, so we didn't have air conditioning and pickups. But I remember, like, as you got close, like, we're like 4 hills away from that farm, everybody'd roll up the windows, because you knew it was going to stink when you go by there. And there's about, it's about a 4 to 8 mile stretch, depending on the time of year, that it was really bad odor. And depending on when and how it worked, if my grandparents lived downwind from them, and you know, probably 2 weeks out of the year, they'd get some pretty bad odor as well. But the facilities that are built today are in the 2,000 to 4,000 head range, and they use a much different technology. And although it's not perfect, I mean, pigs are going to stink. I'd be the first to admit that. Every year that goes by, the technology gets better, the process gets better. And although it is by no means perfect, the reality is unless we as a country are going to say that we're no longer going to eat beef and pork, we're going to have to continue to figure out how to manage this and how to make this process better every year.
I don't think there's any question, Senator, that we have to get to the point where human beings and animals can live close to each other. But we can't kill the industry between that technology and where we are now. And I think much of the objection is technology that's being phased out. So I think it's extremely important we do what you're asking. You know, the other thing that bothers me a lot is that the large facility that you represent gets, you know, that's what we point out as the objective. And we're just trying to help that one group. But I will tell you that I have a number of family farms, what I call, they're 2-3 brothers or a son and father in my district that have the same problems, and those folks have a right, you know, have a right too. And we're talking about, you know, the Benedicts and the Sandages and the Misers and any number of folks in my district that have CAFOs. They manage them well, but they also are being sued by folks that have moved in or a lot of these things don't show up until the lawyers show up and say, hey, you know, we think we can get you some money.
Well, the part that I find interesting is this debate, those who are on the opposite side always want to move this debate in that we're protecting corporate agriculture. The reality is corporate agriculture in Missouri is illegal, except for 5 counties. There are 5 counties in north central Missouri where they changed the law in the mid-90s that allows a corporation to own property and or the facilities on that property.
Right.
The reality is those 5 counties, they now employ over 3,000 people. You know, last year, a year ago now, we weren't sure what the future of that company was and whether those jobs are going to be there or not. And I remember going up there for town hall forums, and there was one, every forum we had, it was hundreds if not thousands of people. I remember the one forum, we were in a large gymnasium. They estimated there were between 1,500 and 1,800 people there. They filled the gym, the bleachers, the side. They filled the atrium of the school, and they finally set up speakers outside the school in the dead of winter because there were that many people concerned about how do you make sure these jobs don't leave. And the reality is that, you know, some want to debate what kind of jobs we want to have in this state. The reality is that we still produce food in this state. Agriculture is still a very robust and dynamic industry. And the reality is in those counties, I've got counties where literally these farm operations and these farmers, they represent 60% of the revenue to a county. And literally they are the county commissioners, the school districts, the electric co-ops will tell you, if that facility leaves or that facility shuts down, one, it's 3,000 jobs, it's a $75 million payroll. They buy corn directly out of the field from the farmer at a dime premium. So the basis is a dime higher there than if they had to truck it to the grain elevator. But most importantly, what they'll tell you is that if that facility leaves, the county government's going broke. They're shutting down at least one, if not both, of the schools in that county. The rural electric cooperative will have to raise their rates by nearly 30%. The economic realities of what happens if we do not get a handle around this out-of-control legal environment are devastating to that area and, I believe, ultimately to the agriculture industry of the state. So I'm trying to find, and I know it's a delicate balance, between property rights and the reality is that we still have to have animal agriculture, plant agriculture, and a strong and healthy agriculture industry in our state.
Senator, I remember what happened before that operation went in there, and we were closing courthouses at that point in time, as I remember. And
that's right.
People were fleeing from Northwest Missouri, or North.
Let's
just say North.
Yeah,
Missouri,
sure.
In droves, because there just simply wasn't anything there to sustain.
Yep.
Their livelihoods.
You know, it's as you know, Senator, because you lived through it in your district as well. This is always a very difficult issue, because the issue only comes up when there's a proposed barn being, or someone is proposing to build a barn, and then it's not a debate about sound science. It's not a debate about logical, reasonable parameters. It's a very emotional debate, and unfortunately, as emotions grow, the ability to have a methodical, reasonable compromise goes away.
Yeah.
And so I think it's important that we deal with this in a manner now where we understand that Department of Natural Resources, they have a sound science process they go through to issue these permits. There is a very structured process in many counties where they have local health ordinances, whether it's the health board or the county commission. And we can debate health ordinances all we want. The reality is that what we are doing today does not stop a health ordinance. It does not hinder DNR's process in any way. What it does say is that if you are unjustly impacted, you have the right to sue. But because we believe this industry cannot be ran out of our state, there's got to be a limit at some point where you have to stop suing. Just like we do for doctors, just like we do for many other industries in this state, and that's what we're doing.
Well, I think it's important to point out that 60% of Missouri's ag income is through livestock, and we simply cannot compete with the Iowas and the Illinois and Indianas of the world on grain straight up. But we can very successfully compete if we have an animal livestock industry.
Well, I'll tell you what worries me, Senator, just to be very candid. All these facilities are very close to the Iowa line, and I can tell you that Iowa has actively been recruiting this company to come there. And the reason for it is because they're like, listen, you're not going to have the problems you're having in Missouri if you're up here. The reality, this cold hard facts, are this company, when they look at all their operations across the nation, everywhere in the country, their additional legal costs in Missouri are nearly $4 a head. Their additional environmental cost above any other state in the nation is an additional $3.50 a head. So $7.50 per head on nearly 2 million head per year.
Just for the privilege of being able to operate in Missouri.
And the reality is that although I think that there's a very delicate balance that has to be reached here, the reality is we have to make a public policy decision that is statutory law, not case law, that says what do we believe the future of agriculture is in our state, and what steps are we going to take to make sure that we have a healthy and vibrant agriculture industry? And that is what Senate Bill 187 attempts to do.
Senator, I just want to bring out a few of those points. I don't want to filibuster your bill.
And sure.
But I think it's extremely important for our colleagues to understand that this is the future of agriculture, and we've got to address this. And whether we've got it perfect or not, I don't know, but this is a legitimate attempt to try to take care of both sides and understanding both sides, but also one of the unintended consequences of the unlimited lawsuits that we have is the ability to buy insurance. And if insurance companies are not able to qualify or quantify the risk, then they're going to be unable to sell insurance. And at some point, the golden goose is going to go dead,
well,
one way or the other.
You're right, and that's the other underlying issue here, and that is there's multiple ways to run an industry out of your state. One is to just sue them until they go bankrupt. The other one is that you create a legal climate where nobody will insure in it. And that we're on the brink of that now. That's why we've got to figure this out, and we've got to bring some balance to it. So, you know, Senator, I wish I could tell you that this was the perfect solution, but I can tell you this. Both sides, I would say, neither side like it, which tells me that I'm probably
pretty close.
Somewhere close to where I need to be. If everybody's unhappy, we might be doing something that's probably the right thing to do. Versus one side being happy and the other side being just overwhelmingly ran over.
Thanks, Senator.
Thank you.
Further discussion. Senator from the 14th, for what purpose do you rise?
I seek unanimous consent to introduce special guests.
Seeing no objection, proceed.
Thank you so much, Mr. President. Today we have before you in the upper gallery a host of people from throughout the state of Missouri who represent the Hispanic community in the state of Missouri, who are here for the 10th anniversary of Hispanic Days at the state capitol. Please give them a warm welcome.
Would the guests of the senator from the 14th please stand and be recognized? Let's give them a round of applause. Thanks for coming to Jefferson City. Thank you. Further discussion. Senator from Buchanan, for what purpose do you rise?
I have an amendment.
Send the amendment forward, please. Has the amendment been distributed?
Yes, the amendment has been distributed, and I would ask for a waiver of the reading.
Seeing no objection, the reading will be waived. Senator, would you care to explain the amendment?
Yes, this amendment deals with nuisances, and I have a bill that deals with the abatement of nuisances. I've discussed this with Senator from the 12th, and he's willing to accept this as an amendment. What it does is it adds Buchanan and Andrew to the list of counties which can enact a nuisance abatement ordinance. And at the request of the senator from the 12th, I've included on there the county of Livingston also. And also at his request, some language relating to the abatement of unscreened junkyard violations. And with that, I'll move for the adoption of the amendment. I'd be glad to answer any questions.
The senator from Buchanan moves the adoption of Senate Amendment Number 1 to Senate Bill 187. Does any senator desire to be heard on that motion? Senator from Holt.
Thank you, Mr. President. As a senator from Buchanan,
for what
speak
purpose?
On the amendment. To speak on the amendment.
Proceed.
As a senator from Buchanan said, this is language that we passed out of here multiple times last year that died in the process. The nuisance language that he talked about, we passed, I think, four times. And then the junkyard language, I think we passed three times. So this is all stuff that made it out of the Senate multiple times last year that died in the process. I was very comfortable with this amendment, and so I would encourage the body to support the amendment. Thank you, Mr. President.
Further discussion. Senator from the 13th, what purpose do you rise?
To inquire the senator from Buchanan.
Senator from Buchanan, do you yield?
Yes.
He does. Proceed.
I was kind of just sitting back, educating myself on the debate. Since I do have agriculture, I don't want people to laugh, but I do have a lot of agriculture in my district, the floodplains. Good, nobody laughed at that comment. What caught my ear was junkyards. Junkyards is in your amendment. As
yes.
Nuisance, can you show me where that is in your amendment?
Sure. The junkyard piece is on the last two pages. It's, let's see, on the second to last page, it starts on line 18.
I see it on page 5. It's on page 4 as well.
It's on page 4 and 5.
Yeah. And what are you doing here?
Well,
even though this passed last year,
I'll do the best that I can.
Please.
But this is actually the senator from Andrews' language. But basically, there are junkyards in northwest Missouri that are within 200 feet of the roadway, and they're not obscured, and they're depressing property values in the area. And the laws are insufficient to get the owners to clean these up. And so what it would do, it would clarify and say that the junkyard must be either fully screened or moved back 200 feet from the roadway, and then it would increase the penalty instead of just a Class C misdemeanor. It would say that on the first violation it's a Class C, but then on subsequent violations it could be a Class A misdemeanor, and that the owner would be ordered to either build the fence or remove the junk.
Okay. Thank you. Mr. President.
Senator from the 13th.
Can I inquire the senator from Andrew?
Senator from Andrew, do you yield?
Yes.
He does. Proceed.
Is this just relating to the counties in northwest Missouri, or is this statewide you seem to know more about the junkyard nuisance.
This is language I had last year, and I think essentially what it is this is language that's already in statute. What it is, but the way that it works today is that, I'll just give you
First off, I agree with what you're doing.
Okay. I think it's everywhere.
I'm kind of at the point, I want to make sure you're including me.
Sure, I think it's everywhere. I think this provision is everywhere.
I want to be part
of the junkyard provision.
I want to be part of your team on this one.
I like the way you think, Senator. Yes.
But go ahead.
Basically what's happened is in Southern Andrew, as to be very candid, we've had growth out of St. Joe moving to Southern Andrew. We have areas where literally there are $500,000 homes being built up and down this road. And recently what has happened is within the last couple of years, individual moved in and put a junkyard in his front yard. And so there's law on the books to address that. So the neighbors they followed the law, but there's no teeth in it. So the guy pays like a $200 fine. And so we're saying, listen, either build a fence or put the junkyard in your backyard. We don't care which.
The one kicker I have on it, if the junkyard is there before the $200,000 home,
no,
it does not.
Vice versa.
Right. And I'll give you a quick example. Years ago, there was a portion of St. Louis County that had a landfill.
Uh-huh.
The landfill was there. The developers built subdivisions around the landfill. Then all of a sudden, the landfill owner had to continually go to court and fight to keep his landfill open when he was there
first,
before the subdivision
yeah.
was there. So now he had about 2,000 homes with upset people due to a landfill that was previous there. So I still think if they were there first, we shouldn't take away
their rights.
And we're not doing it.
And actually, yeah, what this is doing, this isn't even stopping him from being there. This is just saying, listen, you either got to put the junkyard in the back or put a fence around it.
Right, and I agree with you. But what about that person that was there already?
I don't know, to be real candid with you, Senator.
You do that in your bill dealing with the nuisance issue of the smell of the hog farms or anything. You make sure these people that were there first
have, right. They still have the ability to sue.
Right. But in this nuisance, we're not taking care of the person that was there before the homes were built.
Which are we talking about now?
I said you were kind of doing protection in
yep.
your original bill.
Right.
Are you doing somewhat same protections on the junkyard of those people that were there first?
I believe, Senator, that I don't believe that it does that, because I believe that the statute is all that this is a modification of the statute that's already in place, and the statute that's already in place says that no junkyard should be established, maintained, or operated within 200 feet of any state or county road. So that's already in place today.
Okay.
I'm not changing any of that. All I'm saying is that, hey, if you're not going to put your junkyard in the back, then please build a fence around it.
You're right.
So,
thank you.
You bet.
Further discussion? Seeing none, the senator from Buchanan is recognized to close.
I close.
Senator from Buchanan moves the adoption of Senate Amendment Number 1. All those in favor say aye. All opposed say no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. You have adopted Senate Amendment Number 1. Senator from the 11th, what purpose do you rise?
I have an amendment, Mr. President.
Send the amendment forward, please.
Mr. President, the amendment has been distributed for the members. It is B, a revised version of my earlier amendment, and I would move for the adoption of the amendment. Mr. President.
Senator, has the amendment been distributed?
It has been distributed, and I ask for a waiver of the reading.
Seeing no objection, the reading will be waived. Senator from the 11th.
I would move for the adoption of the amendment. This amendment, after some discussion with the Senator from Clay, the basic issue is that we just want a permanent record if a permanent judgment reflective of his underlying act in the Senator from Andrew's bill, that is a part, so that any future property owner knows that there was an issue, that there was a judgment reached, that there was a permanent judgment on a nuisance. With that, Mr. President, I'll be happy to yield to any questions.
The Senator from the 11th moves the adoption of Senate Amendment Number 2. Does any senator desire to be heard on that amendment? Senator from Andrew, for what purpose do you rise?
To speak on the amendment.
Proceed.
I think they've got it worked out, and I would encourage the body to support the amendment. Thank you.
Further discussion. Further discussion? Seeing none, the senator from the 11th is recognized to close.
I close, Mr. President.
Senator from the 11th moves the adoption of Senate Amendment number 2. All those in favor say aye. All opposed say no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. You have adopted Senate Amendment number 2. Further discussion? Senator from the 10th, for what purpose do you rise?
I have an amendment.
Send the amendment forward, please.
Thank you, Mr. President. The amendment has been distributed, and I would request a waiver of its reading.
Seeing no objection, the reading will be waived. Senator, would you care to move for the adoption of your amendment?
Yes, Mr. President, I would move for the adoption of my amendment. And to explain the amendment to the body, for those of you on your desks, we've got a few amendments. This is .02S. It simply would add a Section 7 to the end that says the provisions of this section shall not apply to any claim for private nuisance by a plaintiff whose property ownership precedes the defendant's activities giving rise to the cause of the action. So what this says is if the person who's bringing the nuisance claim is there first, this act, this new bill, will not apply to them. On the flip side, however, if the alleged nuisance is there first and then someone moves in, the act will apply to them. I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Senator from the 10th moves the adoption of Senate Amendment number 3. Does any senator desire to be heard on that motion? Senator from Atchison, for what purpose do you rise?
Do I inquire the senator from the 10th?
Does the senator yield?
I do.
She does. Proceed.
All right, Senator. If I understand this correctly, what you're saying is if a landowner was there first, then the facility came, they are essentially exempt from the
legislation,
the statute that this piece we're putting in today.
Yes.
Okay. That's why I wanted to clarify. Thank you, Senator. Mr. President.
Senator from Atchison.
Thank you to speak on the amendment.
Proceed.
While I adore my colleague from the 10th, what she is creating here is a very clever legal loophole, and I would humbly request the members of the Senate defeat this amendment. Thank you.
You've heard the motion from the senator from the 10th. Does any other senator desire to be heard on that motion? The senator from St. Francois.
Mr. President, to inquire the senator from the 10th.
Senator from the 10th, you yield.
I do.
What evil things are you doing?
What evil thing? I just heard from the senator from Northwest Missouri that it was clever, not evil.
Oh, well, I figured it was evil too.
No, Senator, what I'm trying to do is I'm making an exemption for folks who are already there. This
right.
is for the landowner.
Here's
or the small farmer.
A question for you.
Sure.
Are you making, say you've owned that land for a long time, but you didn't have a residence on there. Are you making a distinction between resident?
I am not.
Because they have the land and then decided to build a house next to the hog farm. And then they build a house and they say, well, this is unacceptable. I used to hunt on it, and it was acceptable. But now that I've built a house on it,
I am not making that exception. But you know what? Would you support this amendment if I refined it so that it?
Probably not.
Okay, just checking. Just checking.
Just asking.
I truly, just trying to protect those folks who've been there. You know, who
well,
are living
if I thought,
there.
If I thought the amendment had a chance, I would probably amend it to make it better. But right now, I just assume it would be bad.
Okay, fair enough, Senator. Thank you for your inquiry. That was very helpful.
Senator from the 10th.
If I could have four of my colleagues stand with me, I'd like to have a roll call on this amendment.
There are four colleagues standing. You shall have a roll call vote.
Thank you, Mr. President.
Does any other senator desire to be heard on Senate Amendment 3? Hearing none, Secretary, call the roll. You are recognized to close.
Thank you, Mr. President. Before I close, I'd just like to speak in favor of the amendment and say this is simply to protect the folks who have been living on this property, who have been there, and through no fault of their own, someone has come in and created an alleged nuisance next to them, and it says that they're exempt from the act. This has, you know, frankly, if someone moves in and the alleged nuisance is already there, that's their own fault. But for those folks who've been there for years, some of them for generations, they should have some protection, and this amendment would protect them from that. I close.
You've heard the motion for Senate Amendment 3 from the senator from the 10th. Secretary, call the roll.
Senators Brown, Callahan, Chappelle Nadal. Crowell. Cunningham. Dempsey. Dixon. Engler. Goodman. Green. Justice. Kevenee. Kehoe. Kraus. Lager. Lamping. Lemke. Mayer. McKenna. Munslinger. Nieves. Nieves. Parson. Pierce. Pergeson. Richard. Ridgway. Roop. Schaff. Schaefer. Schmidt.
No.
Stouffer. Wasson. Wright Jones.
The senator from Cole.
No.
Votes no. By your vote of 9-aye, 23-no, the amendment fails. We are back on Senate Bill 187. Does any other senator desire to be heard on the perfection motion from the senator from Mercer? Hearing none. Senator, you are recognized to close.
I close.
The senator from Mercer renews his motion. We're on the perfection, right? The senator from Mercer renews his motion that Senate Bill 187 be declared perfected and ordered printed. As many of the opinion of that motion shall prevail, say aye.
Aye.
Those of the contrary, no.
No.
The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. The bill is declared perfected and ordered printed.